Matthew chapter 1, please. If I can have several men help me, that would be nice. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mike, Jim. Have notes if they want them. And all right, let's stand. We're going to read Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 20. When I talked to a friend, as I said a couple weeks ago, about the subject of dreams, and I said, "You preached through Matthew 1 and 2, didn't you?" And he preached through the book, and he said, "Yes." And I just asked him, I said, "What did you say about dreams?" And his answer was, "I didn't say anything." And I guess the people didn't ask him any questions, so we just skipped the whole subject. I don't know if that's good or bad. Excuse me, I've been around Frenchies, so it's secondhand smoke. Forgive me. I don't know, does cough drops help? Secondhand smoke, I don't know. Anyhow, we're going to talk about dreams tonight. This is new with me, meaning... yeah, I actually did the work, thought about it. You know, you're not going to find this in somebody's book. Sadly, commentaries skip this altogether. They say it and move on because it's weird. So we're going to keep it very factual, except the very beginning. The very beginning, in the introduction, I'll talk about why I think people get into stuff like this. So I want you to be able to do two things. I want you to understand the flow of thought, number one, and number two, I want you to understand the reasons people chase this kind of thing. And we've had people and kids in our school whose parents, one actually had a personal prophet that used to show up at their house. Yes. A lot of truth and reality there. Chapter 1 in verse 20. Well, Joseph has just gotten the news that his wife is with child. His first response is virgin birth, right? No, he thinks, not good. Verse 20. As I preached on this, the most important line in this whole text. Folks, if you never learned anything this year from me, you need to learn the first line of verse 20. But while he what? People make stupid mistakes when they don't think and meditate. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. My guess is he was very afraid to take Mary for his wife. For that which is conceived in her, and as I said a couple weeks ago, it's very generic because the Greek is very generic. Because they're not trying to describe how the virgin birth happened, other than that it's a miracle. It's of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. In verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou, you, Joseph, shall call his name Jesus. That could be Yeshua. It's pronounced three or four different ways, so don't get too carried away with that. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of or by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name. This is the Greek form. In Hebrew, it's actually two words with a hyphen. Imanu, which means with us, in the Hebrew shortened form of Elohim, El. Imanu-El. Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, it's interesting that it says raised from sleep. Didn't say raised from the dream. Did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Meaning, obviously, remember, there are cardinal numbers. One, two, Ordinal numbers number order, first, second, third. When you have a first, did you not have one of those English teachers? If you have a first, you better have a second. You don't call someone the firstborn child when it's the only child, just the only child. Jesus was obviously the firstborn. After he was born, there were then obviously Joseph would have known her and had children the normal way. Joseph then called him, though, Jesus. We're going to talk about the New Testament and dreams. I'm going to try to introduce the concept of why people get into this. And I want to try to be honest with that. Besides, if some people are just weird, and there is a large percentage of the population, look at me, friends, just weird. And if you don't know this, you don't get out much. People are strange. There's something like 10 to 15% of people that can create their own memories that have no bearing. Do you not know this? That have no bearing in reality at all. They just create stuff in their own head, and they don't even know they're creating it. So there's lots of weirdness, but what I want us to do at the beginning is say, why do normal, decent people get caught up with stuff like this? And I think there's some good reasons. Father, thank you for this time. May this be a profitable night. I'd like to be a little bit of a help if I can. I ask that you would help me in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. My mother is seated over here on my left, your right. I do not know if she remembers telling me. It's been a long time. I'm going to guess it was my first or second year of pastoring in St. Louis. My mother and I were talking on the phone, and she said that a friend of mine from high school and grade school and his wife, I actually went to school with both, he was in the pastorate. His name was Ronnie Crank. His wife's name was Cheryl Levy. Ronnie and Cheryl had several children, and Mom said something to the effect that one of the children had brain cancer and was in, I think there's a children's hospital, it's been too long, in St. Louis. So Mom told me this, I got some information, and I decided to go visit. The only time I've ever visited one of these, I do not recommend you ever go visit one. I visited an oncology ward with children only. Cancer, leukemia, that sort of a ward. Well, I had grown up, Cheryl Levy was exactly 1 year younger than me, so she, her brother was 2 years older, so I grew up with them from first grade to 12th grade. Ronnie moved into our part of the country. He was from Grafton, came to the field in grade school from fifth grade on, so I mean, I'd known these people for years. This was a long time since I had seen them. I was in West St. Louis County. I drove into the city to the hospital. I looked up where they were, talked to the people, went upstairs, and I couldn't find them at first. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been to an oncology ward? Excuse me. Children oncology. You know what I'm talking about, oncology. Cancer, leukemia, that sort of thing. So I walk into the place, and finally I find Cheryl. Ronnie wasn't there that day. Cheryl comes in, and her daughter is with her. And her daughter is a young girl, anywhere from 4 to 8. I don't remember the age. She was small, you know, above the knee, but less than the hip. I'll make this as impersonal as I can so no one gets offended. I'm going to use a big word. When I saw the little girl, the first two things you saw was, number one, she had a concave head. If you've never seen that, you've never been angry before. Hey, you've never wept before. And she was drooling. One side of her face, just drool. Concave head. Now, you understand, I worked in a hospital for years. I can work around anything, autopsies, you name it. There's a few things I can't do. One thing is see little children with that kind of a problem. Somewhere between the tears and the anger and the desperation and grief and panic. Now, I didn't say Ronnie and Cheryl were this way. I'm talking about people in general. I started to understand people who get caught up with dreams and visions and prophecies and stupidity. And it is stupidity. But I understand when you see a little child that's your child And that child has a concave head, and no, I'm not going to make, because I don't want the little kids to even know what that word means. When you see it for the first time, you want something. You want some kind of help. You want God to intervene. Frankly, you want a formula where you can put two quarters in, push a button, and have God heal your child. You want, and may I say this, I appreciate Brother Mike prayed for Christy this morning. He said something in his prayer that he says often, and he's right. God answers prayer. But, you know, in those cases, you want more than God answering prayer sometime in some way. You want God to do what? I mean right now. You want some kind of control. Maybe you want some kind of knowledge, a dream about the future. Or at least that we might have a little bit of ability to nudge the future in our direction. You want to change things. You want to see God work. Now, I'm going to get to notes. Are you ready with me? Why did I say this? When you talk to people in pain, don't spout off Bible verses. We rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep. Don't be Billy Baptist if someone's going through pain. People do all kinds of crazy things. But you guy was talking to me about her sister, who's trying to, you know, doing things, you know, getting some magic from Mexico because her sister has cancer. That's real life. When it's you're dying, and worse than you dying, your children, little children. So, we all with me. I understand the agony of people who want, you don't want to just pray. Every time I pray for a child like that, I feel like God's not even listening. Do you ever feel that way? You feel like your prayers get about this high, about an inch above your head. I understand why people panic and become desperate. By the way, I'm not saying I believe that you need a dream. I'm just saying I get it. Can I ask you a question before we continue? Do you understand? I ask you a question. Do you understand why people become desperate? We're going to look at dreams in the New Testament. We're going to look at this descriptively, mainly just saying what can we say about dreams in the New Testament. First of all, we'll begin with this. God revealed his plans in dreams. We say this because, and by the way, in your notes, you see the verses under point number one. That is every reference to the Greek word in the New Testament for dream. Every single one. Do you notice what book they're in? Now, there are three other references that the King James translates dream. But it's really a vision while sleeping. It's actually the Greek where we get hypnosis from. Acts 2:17 and Jude verse 8. But every reference to a dream in the New Testament is found in the Gospel of Matthew. It's found the one you just read in Matthew 2 verse 12. It says, "And being warned of God or by God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." That's the second reference. The third reference, "And when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Matthew 2:19, "But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream." It's very strange Greek. Even the Greek is weird, because you would not ever think kata would be how you would put it. For you few that know a little bit of Greek, maybe it's not the normal way I would think of. I'm not even sure what it means. Was it while he was in a dream state God spoke to him? Was it actually in the dream? Was it while he was dreaming? Was simply while he was asleep? That I can't answer. The language is very strange. Matthew 2:22 says, "But when he heard that Archelaus," however you say this poor guy's name, "did reign in Judea in the room or the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God again in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee." Friends, those are the major references to the word dream in the New Testament. The word's found one other time, Pilate's wife had a dream during the time of the crucifixion. That's it. Look at me. Did you hear me? That's it. No more. So whatever we decide dreams mean, we have to determine it from right here. Number two, God not only revealed his plans in dreams, God revealed his plans about the Messiah in dreams. If you prefer, you can write Mashiach if you know how to spell it. If you don't know how to spell Messiah or Mashiach, you can write the word Christ. They all mean exactly the same thing. So when we read the text, look at me, friend, when we read, not philosophize, when we read the text, every text about dreams is about the Messiah. There are no exceptions. These aren't you went to sleep and had a dream that God was going to give you a new job and you were going to make $1 million. That sounds more like greed and covetousness to me than it does anything of God. In these passages, every single dream is about Christ, the Messiah. That's what he revealed, plans about the Messiah. We will not read the same verses again, but we will read underneath those verses. Notice what I say. It is important, it's always important to do this when you're thinking, to recognize what God revealed and didn't reveal in dreams. Do you ever dream? Let me ask you a question. Raise your hand. How many of you remember your dreams? Am I one of the few that, if I have a dream, I won't remember 1 out of 10 years? I don't remember them except the weird ones when my wife kicks me out of bed. That's the only dreams I ever remember. No, she didn't kick me out of bed, but I have done that before. There are people that can tell me dreams, and it's like, how do you even remember? Here's the problem, friend. In the Bible, when God reveals himself, he only revealed certain information. And all the stuff that you and I are looking for, he never reveals that in dreams in the New Testament. Are you all with me? Does this make sense to you? How do I know that? It's right here in the text. You're going to write down exactly what he revealed. Notice Matthew 1, verse 1. The whole book starts with the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Jesus being his name, Yeshua, or something to that effect, meaning the Lord saves, Christ being the Messiah. Matthew 1, 16, again, he is called, of whom is born Jesus, who is called Christ or the Messiah. Matthew 1, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, verse 21, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Again, when Joseph wakes up, he does exactly what the angel said to do. He gets up, he rises from sleep, he marries Mary. We'll talk about that in a moment. And what else does he do? He does not know Mary until the end of this time when the baby is born, and he calls this baby's name exactly what he was told to do, Jesus. So I ask the question, what does God reveal? Now, before we do that, please look here. I don't know how many of you even remember, probably most would not know the person I'm referring to, other than the children that were in our school were bizarre. Because when you have I'm talking about the woman, the husband, it was the woman mainly, that had a prophet come over, do you realize what that does to your family? You mean your family is so special that God speaks directly to your family? I like what John MacArthur said, and I read it in a quote recently. I'll repeat it again. He says, if you want God to speak to you, look at me. If you want God to speak to you, read the Bible. If you want God to speak to you out loud, read the Bible out loud. This nonsense of having God whisper in your ear, I have never met a Christian that is stable that does that. Because what it does is somehow you think you're so special that you don't hear the old-fashioned way God speaks. You've got to have God whisper. I want you to see in the Bible, the New Testament, When God revealed his plans in dreams, they were always about the same thing. They were about, well, we'll look. You write this down. You can do your rereading of this as you spend this week thinking about these thoughts. We have, first of all, what does God reveal? Well, he first of all revealed about the virgin birth. Do you reckon you're going to get in a dream that one of your children is going to have a virgin birth? Yes or no? Boy, some of you aren't sure. Do you think your children are going to have virgin births? No. Next, it also revealed about God with us. The Greek form would be Emmanuel. The Hebrew form is the same. It just looks a little different. Immanuel. Same word. So what God revealed in this dream was about the virgin birth. It revealed about God with us. It revealed also about Christ or the Messiah. This isn't whether you're going to get a promotion. This isn't whether you're going to make more money. This isn't about your anointing and all the nonsense. This is about central theological doctrines when Christ was being born into this world. Next, about the one who saves his people from their sins. His name would be? Yes. What else was revealed in this dream? That he, meaning Joseph, should marry Mary. Is that correct? Friend, but this is all about the central happening of the incarnation, Christ becoming human. Next, that he should not know her until she has delivered her firstborn child. Now, I'm going to change because we're continuing the dream states. This is now the dream of the wise men, the Magoi, that they don't return to Jerusalem. Yes or no? That's the next dream. Don't go back to Jerusalem. Why not? If they went back to Jerusalem and told Herod where Jesus was born, what would have happened to Jesus? This is not about me and my personal plans. It's not about whether I'm going to win the lottery. All day I've been wondering what my lottery numbers are. Boy, we're a dead crowd tonight, folks. If I have to tell you, I don't even know what lottery numbers are, so that's how bad I am. Next in your notes, that the family go to Egypt to escape Herod and to protect the child, too. So that the family, so everything revolves around the Messiah. Everything revolves around the incarnation. Everything revolves around God becoming man and protecting the child. Next, that it was time to return. So again, in a dream, Joseph was told, it's time to return back home because Herod was dead. Then it was revealed that they go into Galilee and not to Bethlehem. Everybody knows the difference, yes? I found out not tonight. So let's look up here. We need to remind basic geography. The land of promise in Jesus' day. Remember, in Jesus' day it was controlled by the Romans. It had been controlled by the Romans since 63 BC. Pompey the Great came in, conquered that area. He actually went into the temple. Why would he go into the temple? That's where they kept money and gold and images. When he got into the heart of the temple, nothing was there. He was disappointed. The Romans then controlled. There were three areas. There was Judea in the south, which usually had a Roman governor. That's where Jerusalem and Bethlehem was. In the middle was Samaria. Those were a mixture of Jewish people and people, the Assyrians had repopulated that area and mixed things up. And it was a mixture of groups. In the north was Galilee. Jesus was born in where? In the south. But he grew up in? Because he didn't want to go back. The father didn't want to go back because of the guy that was ruling that area at that time. So he goes into the north. Jesus, most of his ministry was in the north, in Galilee. All right, we continue. I asked the question, how would we summarize everything that was revealed in this dream? This is how I would summarize it: the Christian faith. My friend, everything that was revealed to the wise men and to Joseph was about the basic Christian faith. Now, we have to ask this question: what doesn't God reveal? I'm being cynical and snarky. Now, please hear me. Again, if I am talking to a person in pain, I'm going to talk to them very differently than I'm talking to you tonight. I am going to sympathize no matter how crazy their ideas are. If someone loses a loved one, don't be snarky. You weep with those who weep. You rejoice with those who rejoice. But God doesn't reveal, how about this? We'll go from left to right. Prosperity, which seems to be the fixation of Americans' minds. Hey, including people here, our minds are made on money. And by the way, unless you learn to handle your finances, how much ever you ever make will not be enough. I got one amen. We can pour cash into you. You could have it coming out of your house and you can spend it. Friend, greed is greed. Covetousness is covetousness. One has to be able to survive on what one has. Now, I will say this to you. Don't get angry. I know where I learned it from. Her and my dad. They lived on nothing for years to make sure the kids were taken care of. So I observed it. You don't have to pray about it. I observed people that didn't buy everything under the sun because they couldn't afford it. Now my mother buys everything under the sun. No, she actually doesn't. How many pair of shoes do you have, mother? Two pair. My mother has 200 pairs someplace, I know. You only have two pair. Judah, tomorrow she needs some shoes, okay? My mother, when the children finally got away from home, folks, she bought shoes. And because her feet are very small, she bought a lot of shoes. But none of them would fit you. All right, let's go back to the notes. To the right, you're going to hear this term among charismatics: favor. Nothing about favor. Next, anointing. There's nothing about the anointing in this passage. Health. Can I say something to you without you being offended? Your health will get worse and you will die. Our fixation on God healing us, in the sense of that I live this life, would, folks, we're still under a curse. Nothing about the stock market. Nothing about personal success. And nothing about the lottery. Are you all agreeing with that? So everyone look at me. When you talk about dreams, here's me. Everything I do and we're going to do tonight is this simple. I read over a month every text over and over and over, and I ask questions. What's this text about? Well, this text says God revealed his plans. His plans about whom? The Messiah, Christ. And it's not about, oh, God told me in a dream that, oh, come on. I don't think so. Backside, please. Number three, God revealed his plans by more than dreams in this passage. God revealed his plans by more than dreams in this passage. We must understand there's more than going on here than just dreams. Matthew 1:20 says this: while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. So we also have, and you can write this down under the verses, what are the more than? Well, one of them is the angel of the Lord. So he not only had dreams, but an angel of the Lord. I mean, this is a special occasion. And in verse 2 of chapter 2, these magoi, these wise men, they saw a star. Friend, no one can explain this, but in some miraculous way, they were able to follow a star from the far east in Persia, modern-day Iran. We don't know exactly where they began. It could be from 500 to 700, even more miles, from the far part of Persia all the way to Jerusalem. They followed miraculously a star. So God didn't just reveal to Joseph things in a dream. He revealed things through the angel of the Lord. He revealed things supernaturally through a star. My friend, it's a beautiful thing when God gives you the job. Ezra, I'm still happy that God gave you that job full time. That's a blessing. Because you were nervous, correct? Of course you were. Did God have a star that shone up and dropped right over it? The answer is no. That's very unique. It happened exactly one time. The incarnation. We continue. Matthew 2, verse 12. If you read the ESV, which is fine, they're going to drop the word God. They are both right and wrong. Got it? The Greek word, it means to be warned in a divine way. So it means God warns you. The King James gives you that, but there's no word for God here. But says being warned of or by God. That is the correct idea. It's not just they were warned, but it was they were warned by God. I mean, that's pretty strong language. Again, verse 13, you have the angel of the Lord. Verse 19, again, you have the angel of the Lord. Verse 22, you have that same Greek word in a little different form. You again have being warned by God, of God. It's a divine warning. So in your notes, I say the more than is this. Not only did God reveal his plans about the Messiah in dreams, he also sent the angel of the Lord. He also divinely warned these people. And thirdly, there was a star that led these people. So we have three unbelievably supernatural events. As I say in your notes, at this point, we know or recognize, or we should know or recognize, we are dealing with something what? Special. Something what? One time only, or if you like that Latin phrase, which I do, sui generis. Why do I like that term? Because that means one and only. The one of a kind. Friend, please look at me. Please look at me. From my buddy Sam back here, to way over here to Pam and everybody in between. Does God care for you? Yes. Does God answer our prayers? Strangely enough, yes. But are you so special that God sends a star 700 miles to lead you to the right job? You see, here's our problem. You read the Bible and you hear guys talk. We need to live in the anointing. We need to live in all of this language, and everybody out there is going, whoa! And they're thinking, oh, I had a dream last night. Oh, give me a break. Friends, you're not that important. Forgive me. Let me say it. I'm not that important. Are you Jesus? I answer the question. Are you the Savior? Then it could be that what happened here happened one time exactly. And how do I come to that conclusion? It's not found in the rest of the New Testament. It's only found right here. This was something that God did uniquely, miraculously, supernaturally, right here. Now, please hear me. That doesn't mean God doesn't hear your prayers. That doesn't mean you shouldn't pray. That doesn't mean God can't put things together. And I always like to look, and you've seen some of these, and boy, some people get crazy. You've seen these big domino things where they have dominoes that go on for a week. You know, God can organize and do things in ways where it's just like, wow, I know God did this. Let me tell you a story. April 19, I'm going to date myself. Dave, what year were you born? The year you were born, what month? What? Dave was 2 months old. That's my good son, Mom. I have a bad son named John, and Dave is my good son. You'll have to meet him after church. 2 months after you were born, I was getting out of the United States Navy. Well, when you get time to get out of the Navy, you start thinking about that thing called a job. I wanted a job because I wanted to go to Bible college, and I needed a job. And I had an education, I had a trade. I thought I could work in a hospital. So one day, I still remember it was a Tuesday. I know exactly the day. It was a Tuesday in April. Now forgive me, twins and all of our young people. You're going to look at me like, what are you talking about? I had gone to the bank and gotten two rolls of quarters. That just horribly dates me. And I went to the third floor back in those days where the lab was. On the one end was the lab, one side was the blood bank, and the other side was empty. And in the in-between were, you know, there were phone booths. And I went to the phone booths, and I can still remember breaking open. And see this lovely lady right over here, Pam Nowakowski. I had asked her about hospitals in that area because that's where she's from. And as you would expect, you had a perfectly detailed list of hospitals in probably alphabetical order with the phone numbers and everything there. So I took that up. I broke those. I still remember breaking the quarters open. And I called the first hospital, and they said, and I asked for the lab manager. This was the old days. Now you got to go through 47 people that don't have a clue what a med tech even is, but they're going to hire you. I went to the lab manager. He said there was no openings. I called the second hospital, which was in Dyer, Indiana, and I got a hold of the lab manager. I still remember. It was on a Monday I called the first time. Called him on a Monday. He said, can you come down Saturday? I called him back Tuesday. I said, I'll confirm tomorrow. I called him back Tuesday. On Saturday, Jenny and I drove from here in April of 1981, Dave. We drove to Dyer, Indiana. Couldn't find the lab. Oh, the lab was in a terrible place. It was behind some elevators. You had to go around, and the morgue was there, and then you went up a ramp to the... And strangely enough, as I finally found the place and started walking up, the lab manager on a Saturday, which he didn't work, came down. He said when he saw me, I was hired on the spot. He said he figured anybody that would drive 75 miles and show up on time would probably want a job. We talked. He said, how long are you going to be here? I said, probably 5 years. I think it'll take me 5 to 6 years, but I did it in 4.5. But I figured it'd take me 5 years to finish the 2 degrees. And he said, fine. He hired me on the spot, but here's the part that I didn't know for a long time. The previous weekend, he had put into the newspapers in that area a job opening. He assumed, Pam, that I was answering the job opening. I was just calling out of the blue looking for a job. Do I believe God can set up the dominoes? What's the answer? Oh, yes. Do I believe God is sovereign? Yes. Do I believe God providentially works? Yes. Do I believe an angel of the Lord is going to show up at your house tonight? No. If an angel of the Lord shows up at your house, you've eaten too much pizza. Now, if a demon shows up at your house, it's probably Louie. But other than that, we're good. We better move on. No, Louie is the guy that will kill the demon. He's got the weapons. So let's read that again. May we read that again, please? At this point, we know or recognize we are dealing with something, what? Special, unique, one time only, sui generis acts. My situation, that doesn't mean I'm not important to God, but it doesn't quite come up to the level of salvation history. I'm not quite as important as the Messiah being born. And don't put yourself on that level. Actually, charismatics regularly do this. They bring Jesus down to bring themselves up. Jesus is absolutely unique, friend. And you and I, we are blessed because of him, but we're not him. Number 4. I really shouldn't even have to say this. God revealed his plans by dreams, in agreement with and fulfillment of what? Has anything you have ever done fulfilled Scripture? The answer would be no. Do you start to see this is just totally unique? Verse 22 says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by, of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin. Isaiah 7:14. Matthew 2, verse 5, and it's asked the scholars of the day, the chief priests and the scribes, and they say, well, he's going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea. Why? For thus it is written by the prophet. You see, this is so unique, look up here, that the Old Testament prophecies were being fulfilled. So when somebody, listen, outside of someone coming to you broken, they've lost their child, their husband or wife has cancer and is dying, weep with that person. Don't correct them. But don't be afraid. When somebody says they had a dream, you know, I would just kind of go, yeah. Especially the average person that's always having visions. Because those visions, hear me, are always contrary to the Bible. There are always visions about how much money I'm going to make. When people talk about favor, they're talking about money. Do you understand? God is not nearly as interested in you being wealthy as you are. He's actually more interested in you being content. Is that a Polish word? What's it mean to be content? We continue. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. We have the same thing in verse 15, where it says, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt. So in the same way that the children of Israel had to go into Egypt and come out, the Lord Jesus went into Egypt and was called out. Matthew chapter 2, verse 19 talks about Joseph being in Egypt. And then he comes back into Judea because the angel tells, because he has, he's told to do so. But when he gets there, he realizes that the wrong guy is ruling and he's as bad as his father. By the way, the reason you never hear of this Archelaus is he only ruled for a short time. He was a total fool. He was gone in 5 minutes. Then Roman governors take over, specifically Pontius Pilate and others. We continue. It says, notwithstanding being warned in a dream, he turned aside into parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the... And this is very interesting, and we'll get into this later. By the not one prophet, but prophets. This is like a summation of the Old Testament. He shall be called a Nazarene. So I have said tonight, God revealed his plans in dreams. They were his plans about the Messiah in dreams, not other kinds of plans. But he revealed his plans by more than dreams. The angel of the Lord, divine warnings, and a star. Fourthly, God revealed his plans in agreement with and in fulfillment of Scripture. Number five, God revealed only those plans in a dream. And so, Pastor, I had a dream. Look at me. If you walk up to me and say, I had a dream, as long as you're not suffering, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. Roll over and go back to sleep. Dave Doran, I got to tell the story. I've told it too many times, but I like to hear it. Bob Jones University, Dave Doran pastors over Inner City Baptist. I've told the story maybe recently, but I'm still going to tell it because I like to hear it. It's the funniest story I've ever seen, heard. He gets out of Bob Jones. He's going to go to seminary where he grew up in Detroit. He now pastors the church and is the president of Detroit. He gets back, and I think Dave is probably mid-50s. He's a little younger than me, maybe 5, 6, 7 years. Dave gets back there on a Saturday morning, I think he said. He gets a knock at the front door. And there's a girl that he had seen at Bob Jones that had driven from Bob Jones to his house near Detroit and said, God told me that you're the one. And Dave, of course, is snarky, worse than me. Dave said, but God hasn't told me. Come on, folks. God revealed only those plans. What kind of plans? Plans about the Messiah. In fulfillment and agreement with Scripture, everything is coming to pass. This is a miraculous time of new revelation, and God is confirming and affirming this revelation and the fact that the Messiah has come. In fulfillment of Old Testament Scripture, there is many great miracles. That does not mean God can't answer your prayer. That does not mean God won't answer your prayer. But hear me, friend, if you have a dream, please look at me. Get up. If you're older, go to the restroom. Drink some milk and go back to bed and shut up. That's my counsel. Can I have an amen? Please don't get, you scare me to death. I could just see Tom Lex is going to, I had a dream. Oh, Mike Hall has dreams all the time. It's always the same dream. He's buying some other vehicle. And every time he does, Pam gives him the right elbow of fellowship, right upside the head. Folks, dreams, really. Number six. The most important word in number six is the first word. Do you understand the first word? Maybe God will re-reveal his plans in dreams, maybe in the tribulation. I don't have time to deal with Acts 2. It's in English, it's the same word, but it's totally different Greek words. It's not the normal word for dream. It's the word we get hypnosis from. And it actually has the idea of while you're dreaming, you have a vision. It says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." It uses the word anupnia. That's a hard word. Anupnia, which we get hypnosis from. And the verb is the same word. Look at me, friend, and I'm done. I think what might happen is this. Acts chapter 2 will probably be fulfilled during the time of the tribulation. But what is the time of the tribulation? It's at the very end of time. And it's not going to be, you can win the lottery, because I got the numbers. It's going to be, Christ is returning. God is calling judgment down. What the two prophets prophesy. Okay? That's the end of dreams for me. So what happens if you have a dream? Roll over and go back to sleep. If you can't roll over, get up and drink some milk and go back to sleep. If you can't get the dream off your mind, like Mike, and you keep having reoccurring dreams. You know, recently he's had a reoccurring dream. He wants to buy one of those things he and Tom were playing with. Those little fork things that pick stuff. I can just see it. You don't have to tell me. I know him. You say, why doesn't he buy one? Because every time he thinks about it, he sees Pam. This is my recommendation. If you have a dream, go back to sleep. You say, Pastor, but doesn't God speak? Speaks to me every day, just like he speaks to you. Thus saith the Lord. Father,